T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back to Marloni, Fourier, and Mego. ESPN released their top 100 NBA players. 7 different Celtics on this list. The top 10 has not been released yet. So Tatum is not one of these. I'll say that. 7 other Celtics in the top 90, I guess. Well, the bottom 90, right? Yeah, bottom 90 of the top 100. Starting here with Grant Williams. He eked in at 99. So Tim Bontemps, he wrote all the excerpts for the Celtics here on this list. He wrote, Williams has steadily increased his three-point shooting volume and percentage each season, topping out at 3.4 attempts per game and shooting 41% from behind the arc last season. Boston needs him to repeat those numbers, especially with newcomer Danilo Gallinari likely out for the season with a torn ACL. Should Grant Williams be considered a top 100 player in the NBA?
Yes. Yes. Now think about it. So there's 30 teams, 15 players on each team, about 450 players in the league. Like he makes it all the way through the postseason, has significant minutes in the postseason, has a bunch of game call him game-clinching, defining moments in the postseason, even though he petered out at the end. Yes, 99 is actually perfect. It's just enough for him to brag about it, act like he's part of the club, have a say with all the other Celtics leaders who are making, big-time decisions. He wants to be part of those meetings. It's actually the worst thing for the Celtics.
Yeah, you know, if he was like 101, just wasn't on this list, it might be more enjoyable. You know what I mean? Just to kind of hear him bitch about it. Like he's bitching about, was it NBA 2K, his ranking and everything else. But hey, is it about right?
Yes, it is right.
I'm just looking at the guys around him, right? Kevin Love's at 97. Bogdan Bogdanovic. He's at 100. So, you know, it's like, is he in that class of those kind of guys?
In the right matchup,
he's a good defender, and he can shoot the corner three. So,
yeah, but he actually got more credibility by going so far in the playoffs and like making a name for himself. As silly as he is, and as dopey as he is sometimes.
In the playoffs, though, too,
I said he petered out at the end. But listen, how many different rounds? He gave you significant minutes. He gave you good production, and a lot of guys petered out at the end, not just him, but overall, I think his name recognition, if anything, post-game on TNT, doing stupid stuff, being goofy. I feel like, yeah, he deserves the ranking. He deserves
to be
in the top 100.
I don't think anybody guards Giannis Antetokounmpo nearly as well as Grant Williams in this league.
That comment alone got him in it. That got him at 99. They heard that, and they were like, you know what? I mean, nobody covers Giannis. Like, he's got to be 99. He's got to be in this.
If anything, I told the guys, y'all leave it be and let me handle it.
There's that.
Yeah, there's the tough guy
factor. There's the hard-o factor, which is a 10 out of 10 every single day. No, okay. But he deserves it. I don't think it's up for debate.
So, essentially, he's in the top 20% of the NBA by those numbers.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
Duck boats. How do you not laugh about making that statement?
What?
That Grant Williams is a top 20% NBA player.
I mean, prove me wrong then.
Every player around him is better. Mitchell Robinson's better. Kevin Love's better.
And Love is on the last leg of his career. I don't see it. I mean, that's fine. Like 7 years ago when Kevin Love was here.
Here's what we need. We need 101 to 110.
That's
and start asking
list.
Whether those guys, because the only guy in this list that we've named behind him is Bogdanovic, who, you know, I don't know, maybe a bigger role might show that he is better than Grant Williams. Who knows?
I mean, would you, like, where do you think he would, like, I mean, listen, at this, when you're this far back, it's like, why are we even debating it? But it's Grant Williams, and I think this is important to him. Look, guys, I made the list.
I made it.
I should be higher.
So going through some of the other Celtics on the list, at 87, new addition, Malcolm Brogdon, so that's good. 70, Al Horford.
Should be 7.
He wasn't a couple of these guys not ranked last year, by the way, including Al Horford and Brogdon. At 58, Rob Williams. Why he could exceed his ranking in 2022-23. Although the Celtics reached the NBA Finals, Boston never quite looked the same after Williams injured his knee late in the regular season. If he can be healthy for the entire season, Williams will be a leading candidate for Defensive Player of the Year and could skyrocket up these rankings. Again, Tim Bontemps. That is a really big if, as we just addressed. Going forward there at number 34 is Marcus Smart. Last year he was ranked 49. Smart didn't become the first guard to win Defensive Player of the Year since Gary Payton by mistake. Smart has long been considered one of the best defensive guards in the NBA, and he was a huge part of Boston's league-leading defense, including when it was a staggering 4.6 points per 100 possessions, better than the rest of the NBA over the final 2.5 months of the regular season. Do you think that's too high for Marcus Smart? 34.
Well, no, I think it's about right. Just because, listen, he's Defensive Player of the Year. I think that alone gives him points. I mean, he's, you know, again, I look at guys around him. Like Draymond, another guy, defender, right? 43. Who would you rather have in your team, Marcus Smart or Draymond Green?
Marcus Smart.
Absolutely. Like, I still, you know,
that's
we can talk about
him. That's
too
high for Draymond Green.
Yeah, it probably is. So he's ahead of some of these guys. Scotty Barnes, Fred VanVleet, good player. LaMelo, actually, at 41. Zion Williamson at 40. He's fat. Mobley, Kate
Not
Cunningham's
nice.
Good player. So there's a lot of good players in here. Now, he jumped up, you know, from 49 to 34, Defensive Player of the Year. And he showed he can be, a pretty good serviceable point guard in this league. So I have no problem with him jumping up.
All right. This one is going to be close to your heart, Christian.
Who
at
is it?
Number 22.
Why is it close to my heart?
Jaylen Brown. You were the Jaylen defender all through. Have you forgotten?
Yep.
Like, all through the playoffs, you were like, why not Jaylen?
Is that a rhetorical question?
Why does it have to be Jason Tatum's team? Why not Jaylen?
Who played better in the postseason?
Jaylen was, you're picking it up. So last season, Jaylen was ranked 27th. This year, he's 22nd. Brown has yet to make an all-NBA team in his career, but if the Celtics can follow through on preseason expectations and finish the season with the best record in the East, Brown will all but certainly get the credit of both being in the all-NBA conversation and moving up these rankings. One huge question, can he improve as a playmaker and ball handler?
Wow.
That's been something Coach Ime Udoka has stressed both he and Jason Tatum need to do since Udoka arrived last summer. But over the final three rounds of the playoffs, Brown averaged more than 3 turnovers per game against the Bucks, Heat, and Warriors. For Boston to take that final step toward a championship, Brown needs to improve in those moments.
Yeah.
Ball control.
Isn't that amazing? Like, you're in the NBA and you constantly kick the ball out of the stands.
I think it's a good spot for him. And I don't know if you guys think he should be higher. Again, I go back to the other guys. I mean, right in front of him, Chris Paul. Should he be above Chris Paul? I don't think so. Anthony Davis is interesting because he's always hurt. But if he's healthy, is he a better player? He might not be anymore. I don't know. The guy's missed, I don't know how many games the last 2 years. Bradley Beal is at 19. Should he be ahead of Bradley Beal? You know, Rudy Gobert's at 18. Jimmy Butler's at 17. So,
well, then I think it's a good spot.
Yeah, I think it's a good spot. Like, you know, you always talk about, like, he's 20 to 25. People are like, it's disrespecting him. All right, well, I'll tell you, let's start naming some of the names. Who are you going to put him over? And when you do that in the NBA, it's why I always say the top 3, 4, 5 are what they are. And maybe even the top 10, I don't know, somebody sneaks in, which obviously Tatum has. But basically, like, 11 to, like, 25, every year or two, they could be interchangeable.
Yeah,
some guy can get hurt, drop down. Some guy can have a great year, jump up. They're all great players.
So Jimmy Butler is a werewolf.
He is a werewolf.
He's a werewolf.
Like, yes. He's at 17.
Okay. That's the thing. He's not a pig.
Yes, he's a werewolf. You're scared of him.
He's not a pig.
No.
Because he's not going for 40.
Yeah.
So is it like,
but
is
he's
the
werewolf?
I'm learning all these new, they're not reporting terms, but they're sports
Dunsky.
Terms. So we have pig and we have werewolf. Werewolf is like, Is it about the attitude that you bring
in? Yeah, he's just a werewolf. Like, Jimmy Butler's a werewolf.
Like, your coach might throw a clipboard at you because yell, "I knew you were effing crazy, Jimmy Butler."
But I'm just saying, that's actually...
Can you say werewolf for me real quick?
No. Come on.
Come on, do it.
It's a regional accent, and everyone has one.
Does it?
Yeah, they drop the L's in the Mid-Atlantic. Oh, yeah, I got a lot of friends in Baltimore who do the same thing.
Werewolf.
Werewolf?
What is... It doesn't sound different.
How do you
me.
Say, like, how do you say that word then? Just that word, like W-O-L-F.
No, just wolf.
Wolf.
Woof.
Woof. That's funny.
There's,
is it
like,
really?
Watch out for the wolves.
But then what sound does a dog make?
Woof.
But you're talking about a were.
Woof.
Okay.
I don't understand.
I love it.
They sound the same to me. I know there's an L in there, but it sounds the same. What do you say?
Werewolf.
Wolf.
But ask them to say park. Wolf.
What?
Ask him to say park.
Wait, should Ben Affleck park? You got a pack. Yeah. No, but that's a difference. Like Jimmy Butler's not a pig. You know, like Giannis is a pig. Like Giannis is a pig. Jimmy's just a werewolf. He's just nuts. But this is where he belongs. Now, the question I would have to you guys is, obviously, Jason Tatum is in the top 10. They haven't released it yet. Let's go through the top of the 15th, basically. So I already told you a couple of those guys. Jimmy Butler. Then it was Trae Young at 16. Paul George is 15. Damian Lillard, 14. Karl Anthony Towns, 13. Kawhi Leonard, 12. James Harden, 11. They don't have top 10 yet. They'll come out, I think, maybe tomorrow.
Did Kawhi Leonard even play last year?
No, but he's out of respect.
So everything is based on everybody's healthy, everybody feels great.
Okay, that's fine. Where would you put Tatum?
Let's see. This is.
I got to make my own list. Are we supposed to make a list?
No, I'm just predicting.
Put him at 9?
I believe he's going to be at 7.
He won't be in top 5.
He's going to be at 7. 7 or 6.
Yeah, see, I go a little higher. Because I think the last time you saw him, you saw some guy that looked like he couldn't play at the big stage. And I think people remember that. As much as he got there, but I do think, like, you know, whether he's first team all NBA, right? Top 5, I still think you have him like 8.
7! 7 would be good.
Yeah.
I'm trying to go through this exercise in real time. You have LeBron, you have KD. Do you put Steph at 3?
Steph's there. Luka's ahead.
Say no particular order. Luka. Just tell me when you get
You want
to
chime in? What do you think?
I would take Tatum over LeBron.
All right, but you think he's going to be ranked higher?
No, yeah, and we're talking about rankings. We're trying to predict.
Yeah,
what
my
the
ranking,
top
10 I would put Tatum over LeBron.
So, where would you put him? 3, 4?
I'd probably have him at 6.
So then, where's LeBron? 7. Because they have Kawhi in the top 15.
7, 8, or 9.
So this is not based on the last season.
Maybe 10 even. Yeah,
Jokic is over.
Are you just a LeBron hater? Is this something I didn't know?
No, I just think LeBron's not a great player anymore. I don't think he's the player he used to be. He doesn't play a whole lot of games. He's not a great defender anymore.
Well, nobody knows what Kawhi's going to be, but he's at 12.
I don't mind Kawhi at 12 because I think he just missed a year. Out of respect, he should be at 12. What about James Harden at 11?
I know.
Are we past that? Like 11?
So what they say here is, hold on, I'm still at Kawhi. They say after Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving came to Philadelphia and demolished Harden and the Sixers while Ben Simmons watched in street clothes, the first game between the two teams in Philadelphia. Oh, this is a... Sorry, they have a game to watch. They say, will the real Harden please stand up? After a summer full of videos, Harden's dedication of working out and preparing for the upcoming campaign, all eyes will be on the beard. They don't even give justification for why he's at number 11. They just say, here's the game to watch.
I think Kawhi deserves that respect.
And here's the question.
I don't think he does. I don't think he does. Not at 11. No way. I think Tatum will be at 8. We'll see. When's it come out? Tomorrow, most likely.
So they're not even releasing the
coming
whole
Thursday.
Time.
Comes
so
out Thursday.
So Thursday they do the next 5, and then Friday they do the top 5.
You'll be in the next one Thursday.
I think so, too. All right, well, we're going to break for trending. When we come back, we have a big deal or no big deal. We have a highway hero. Yes, Christian.
And is ayahuasca a drug? We're going to find out.
No, it's a plant.
We're going to find out. We're going to find out if ayahuasca is a real drug.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You got anything to say for yourself?
We didn't think it was that big a deal.
No big deal.
It's a big deal.
Big deal.
Kind of a big deal in New England right now.
No big deal.
Not that big a deal.
Not a big deal, huh?
Why does that make such a big deal? I don't understand that.
No big deal.
Big deal.
Is Joe Biden getting a bad deal here?
All right, so we all remember during the offseason when Aaron Rodgers explained his ayahuasca experience, right?
That's what ayahuasca did for me.
Remember, like, the whole hand?
The sensation of feeling 100 different hands on my body.
Okay. Love so it's growing. The ayahuasca trend is growing, like, even against the Monday Night Football game. I don't know who scored a touchdown, but they did this. This mock, like, ayahuasca ceremony where they all were in a circle and they all, like, the football was like the ayahuasca. They all put it in their hands and they all drank it. I don't know if you guys saw that. Okay, well, that happened on Monday night. So yesterday, Tuesday, on Pat McAfee's show, that he talked about it, and he believes that ayahuasca is not a drug.
Words are spelled, right? Words are spells, and they are spelled a certain way or pronounced a certain way. And there is power in the specific word. So you just use the word drug, right, to refer to ayahuasca. I just want to stop you there right away because the reference to ayahuasca, or even marijuana, putting the tag drug on them is a manipulative word that creates a bias against those specific things. And it happens all over society.
All right, Meg, I'm going to start with you. Aaron Rodgers, well, there's two parts to this, actually, I guess. I just heard the first part, the new one. Words are spells, and ayahuasca is not a drug. Big deal or no big deal?
Big deal. People are listening to you, Aaron Rodgers. And if you're sitting there saying this isn't a drug and this isn't a drug, so I don't like it being classified as a drug, so I don't like that word just because it has negative connotations around it. Well, just because it has negative connotations around it doesn't mean it's not the truth.
I just want to stop you there right away.
Okay.
And look, I'm not going to sit here. I've never been the kind of person who's like, even before it was legalized, like, I've never been the kind of person who's like, you know, smoking marijuana is the same thing as, like, smoking crack. Like, obviously, there's levels to this. But just because you don't like the connotations around the umbrella of the category doesn't mean you get to say, well, the thing I like to do is not a drug, because that's a negative connotation.
He wants to change the meaning of it so it's
like
more acceptable.
Like, peyote is a drug.
Yes.
Okay.
Mushrooms
just
is a drug.
Just because it has a history. Like, and there's a natural element to it. Doesn't mean it's not a controlled substance.
I would say it's just stupid.
Words
it's just
are spelled.
Like, right? Alcohol's a drug.
Like you said, like, I don't
love alcohol.
So, he doesn't want someone to call him a druggie, like old school, right? I don't.
He's
do
deep.
Drugs.
No, he's much
it
deeper than that, Lou.
Drug. I want to stop you right there. It's not a drug. Okay, what is it? It's a drug. What are we doing?
Mushrooms are a drug.
It is a big deal because, okay, it is a drug, okay?
But why not just admit it?
Both
why
legally
have a problem with it?
And the dictionary definition of it is a drug.
It's a manipulative word.
Okay, so ayahuasca is an illegal drug. I'm reading from this article, okay? And it's active ingredient, okay? This is going to be hard. Dimethylethylamine.
Yes.
Okay.
What was that?
DMT.
DMT. I just want to stop you there. Right
no, away. You're not going to stop me, Aaron. DMT is on the DEA's list as a Schedule 1 as a substance with no currently accepted medical use and a high potential for abuse. Like, it's 100% a drug.
Yeah, you're calling out those alphabet boys. DEA.
Why don't
you just let them tell you how to live your life, Christian?
Aaron Rodgers is turning into like this stoner hippie.
You're in square mode is what you are.
But he's turning into a hippie drug stoner, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
It's a drug.
It's a drug.
He doesn't want people like, just say you're a druggy hippie. He looks like one. He looks like Shaggy from
Scooby-Doo.
From Scooby-Doo. Yes, yes. Oh, my gosh. All right, so you guys, close your eyes, and I want you to visualize this, all right? Because I feel like we've all been in this situation before.
Okay, here we go.
All right?
I like this.
Imagine you're on the highway right now, Lou and Mego.
Yes.
And then it's stop-and-go traffic, and you can't go anywhere. You're just trying to get home, and there's no end in sight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, you notice the breakdown lane is wide open. And now you can circumvent all the traffic and get home before everybody else.
It was a helium truck.
It's a helium truck. But some jerk thinks he's playing like breakdown lane police, and he stops you because he doesn't want anyone getting ahead or circumventing the system. Mm-hmm. This is exactly what happened with a comedian, Chris Ellis, is it? Francis Ellis, Barstool guy, you know, whatever, comedian guy. And he was in this situation. He actually took a video of it, and here's what he said his reasons were.
Stop and go traffic. People were using the breakdown lane to cut everybody, right? Until I stopped them. I moved out into the breakdown lane, and I am moving with the regular flow of traffic. These ladies right here, we gave each other the thumbs up, right? I'm acting as a roadblock of justice. We got a big SUV behind us, keeps flashing his lights at me, honking his horn. Not gonna lie, it's a little intimidating.
Great delivery.
Right? But I'm not moving. You gotta play by the rules. Not all heroes wear capes. Shut the up.
No, all right, Lou, I'm gonna start with you because I feel like we've had this debate before. Francis Ellis taking it upon himself to be the road warrior that he is.
We've had this debate before because I travel Route 3 at like from between 3 to 7, the breakdown lane is open. And I've had people upset at people using the breakdown lane, driving in the middle and not letting cars go by in the breakdown lane. And it's like that pisses me off because it's legal. I look at it this way, okay? I would never go and do that in a breakdown lane because
you would never do what?
I would never stop in a breakdown lane and not let anybody cross. Because the way I look at it, somebody goes flying by me these days, my first thought is they obviously have somewhere to go. Like they obviously have some, maybe they have an emergency. Maybe they're going to the hospital. I don't know.
Maybe their wife is having a baby.
Exactly.
Her water broke and she's got to hurry up and get to the emergency
room. So it's like people drive by now. First thought is like, huh, maybe he's racing because the ambulance just took his family member to the hospital. I have no idea. So you know what? You want to screw down the breakdown lane? Go ahead. I don't care. Whatever.
So you're not going to be the guy that kind of puts his car in the lane
especially
driver.
When it's freaking legal. Don't do that crap on Route 3.
Oh, see, this is a different thing. Okay, well, big deal, no big deal.
This guy's not a cop.
You learn how to merge on
don't
it.
Don't tell me which lane to be in. I don't like this at all. This is a very big deal. Do whatever alleviates traffic. That means people going in the breakdown lane. I use the breakdown lane if I know that I'm a quarter of a mile away from my exit because this happens to me every day on 93. So I'm like, my exit is right there.
Oh, yeah,
everyone is stopped dead in traffic.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going off to the right because I'm essentially just going up to the exit. I'm not going to cruise on here for like 3 miles in the breakdown lane. I'm going a quarter mile.
See, it's a big deal to me because it's none of your goddamn business what I'm doing with my time and whether I want to break the rules or not. And just because you don't want to do it doesn't mean you could be some breakdown hero.
However.
And stop everybody from doing it. That drives me crazy.
However.
However what?
If you are in bumper-to-bumper traffic and you see some guy flying down a breakdown lane.
Good idea.
Okay. And all of a sudden, something happens up in this, the breakdown lane, and he just tries to squeak in front of you. You're saying, yeah, sure, come on. Yeah, no big deal. Just go down the breakdown lane. You know, no big deal. Now you're going to squeak back into traffic. Now you're telling me you got nowhere to go. Now you're telling me you're just trying to cheat
see,
the system.
You can't, you
now
can't I'm cherry pick the reasons
why.
Oh, I
can cherry pick.
If somebody wants to go in the breakdown lane and then they want to get back in, then be the jerk that doesn't let them in. And then just smile and wave to them.
Well, that's fine.
I'm fine with that either way. I'm not going to rage my way through this and like force some guy, bitch, because I'm so uptight. This has Karen written all
I
over it.
I just wish Massachusetts would open up.
It's Karen behind a car. I'm behind a wheel.
Just open up three lanes on Route 3 south and north. You do it from 3 to 7 in the afternoon. You do it from whatever it is, 7 to 11 in mornings. If you can do it during those times, you can do it during the weekends. Those of us that live down the South Shore would appreciate it because the weekends suck.
This is your own personal agenda now. It's driving into it. It's not big deal. No big deal anymore.
It is a big deal.
It's like it's 24/7 personal issues.
Three lanes down Route 3. Let's go. Enough with this crap. Go ahead, sir.
You want to slide one more in there?
Yeah.
You want to slide one more in there?
Shut the f- up.
Oh, I wish I had one of those police, like, you know, like, you know, cruisers with like the big, like, you know, front grill. It's just like something out of Mad Max.
Yeah, because you got to do
the engine. I could just literally just push them off the road. That's what I would want to do. I would want to drive them off the road. Yeah, like a snowplow or like a some sort of mechanical spatula from Go-Go Gadget Days. And like he would flip over in the back of the car.
Yeah, those at AutoZone.
All right, last one. Okay, I saw this in the Globe today. I thought this is right up your alley, Lou. All right, so here's the headline. Take a look at the birthday cards. Ageism advocates say are mean and stereotypical. There's a national campaign right now that presses card makers to reframe a common message. They don't like the fact that old people are being made fun of because they're old. And get this quote, okay? Get this line, the paragraph in the article. Said the pushback is drawing support in Massachusetts.
Oh,
what a shock. For even groups that provide services to older folks have been rethinking their message in recent years. As one sign of that, the city of Boston changed the name of its Commission on Affairs of the Elderly to the Age Strong Commission in 2019 and launched a multimedia campaign.
Don't laugh.
I can't even get through it. Big deal, no big deal. Oh, are you kidding me right now?
Aging still has a negative connotation to it.
That's a quote. Holy smokes. I don't see one wrinkled face or a single toothless grin.
You know cards that we see in the aisles of all these stores, right?
We can't send out birthday cards because of ageism?
No, you can send out birthday cards, but they don't want the cards to say all downhill from here.
What's wrong with
that? They don't want
you
mocking the old people like their life is basically over. They want you to, you know, embrace age as being a good thing, not a bad thing.
It should be like, holy bleep, I can't believe you made it to the 80s.
Yes, they don't want that anymore.
Like, no?
No, they don't want it. You got to like empower it. It's got to be like, if you're old, like you're strong and you're like, you're one of us. We're not going to put one foot in the grave for you right now. We're going to talk about how long you're going to live.
You're not over the hill?
No, you're not over the hill.
I can't tell over the hill?
Nope, can't just send those. They don't want you to send those cards out anymore.
All right, I admit it. So this is from the Lindbergh baby.
Let me give you this quote real quick, man, before you go. Barbara Anthony, she is a consultant at the Pioneer Institute, a Boston think tank.
She sounds young.
Yeah, she is.
She's like 17.
No, right?
Barbara?
This is. Now, we're talking about birthday cards.
Yes.
Okay, birthday cards. I would never give them to a friend or relatives. I have no sense of humor about ageism. The same way I have no sense of humor about racism. It's a birthday card. Like, it's a happy birthday card.
It's not the same.
She has no sense of humor, period.
Zero.
She wakes up every day pissed off and can't wait to get upset about anything.
Thank goodness.
She's talking about.
We're having moral qualms about watching the Patriots this season.
Yeah, like, we're talking about a freaking birthday card. And somehow she turned. And I have no sense of humor either, by the way, about racism. Like, how are we. Where are we. What is that?
You can't wrap your head around it because it doesn't make any sense. There's no common sense involved. Like everything is off limits.
If you're not still disturbed about Bob Kraft and other things in the NFL with concussions, etc., at least you don't have Antonio Brown to worry about anymore.
There you go. Megan, what do you got? Is this
a big deal. Aside from just the age specific thing, like, whatever, who cares? Everybody gets old. Like, it's not specific to you. Shut up. You can't be funny anymore because you can't be mean to anybody.
No.
You know what's funny? Being mean.
Oh, high five from there.
Like, I'm sorry. It's really difficult to be funny and not be mean. Everyone's like, why are you being mean to this person?
Love.
Why can't you just why can't you just let people like what they like? Why? Because I think it's dumb.
Yeah. You know, the thing with you know, Lou, I don't know what you meant, because I remember
when I knew
I was finally like a tween or like a teenager, is when my birthday cards like didn't have Garfield on it. They had some like butt naked, like half naked girl on it. I was like, I said, my parents are identifying the fact that I've gone through puberty and I like women.
Which
it may probably have something to do with the Heather Thomas, you know, poster that was on the wall.
Which
and,
is
you
wrong
know, and what I was doing to that poster.
As a young child, they're just assuming you like women.
That's not what I'm talking about.
Oh, it isn't?
No, I'm not talking about your half naked.
Well, you know, you go from
birthday cards that you're getting from your mom.
You go from Garfield cards and like GoBots and Transformers. Next thing you know, you got some like, you know, hot chick on a card saying, "You ready for adulthood?"
Is every card supposed to have like a scripture in it and be like, "God treasures you. He's excited to welcome you into the gates
also.
Of heaven."
I got those also.
Is
that weird? I got that.
Years.
I got
those greatest looking elderly.
I got this too.
Old people already have everything.
Maybe the greatest looking elderly woman I've ever met in my life.
You have all the money and everything. It's fine.
I think this is. I feel like they're like running out of topics.
Oh my god!
And get so, mad at?
And yeah, just like you know, what's next? Like, oh, you know what? I don't like it when my when grandma would get these cars and they would make fun of her age.
I'm gonna
tongue
start,
in cheek, obviously.
I'm going to start my own council. It's going to be like, do people make fun of how big your teeth are? Yeah, you're anti-toothist.
Yeah. You know? Can we please like use that line about that Mego just had about like be like it's fun when you're mean to people?
Oh, it's
it
hilarious.
Is. You know,
it's
fun
it's being most, mean. It's a true statement, by the way.
Like, it's just, I'm not saying people should be bullied or anything, but you should be a little tough.
Yes.
Your skin should be a little tough.
So what you're saying is you're just as insensitive as we are.
I'm sensitive.
See, now you're
I'm right. Nice. You've seen me be Mama Bear. But
to
like,
your dog.
No, Mego, you are a werewolf.
Yeah, you're in that category.
A wolf.
You're a werewolf. Werewolf. All right, well, that's big deal, no big deal.
Well done. Tom Brady is right. The sports media got it wrong.
It's amazing what we're living through right now. I can't even, I don't know what I can do or what I can't
Let's
do.
Let's just all hold hands.
We can talk. I'm going to wear a disguise next time I get my dad a birthday card.
We can talk Patriots, I think. Well, then again, I don't know. That last comment, they weren't allowing us to talk then back
Let's
then
go back to the Patriots. Today, Bill Belichick in his media availability with the reporters down in Foxborough, he confirmed Lamar Jackson came down to New England on a pre-draft visit, and he remembered what that was like. He said this.
Did you do much work on Lamar or get to know him at all in 2018?
Yeah, he visited here.
What do you remember about him during the pre-draft process?
Good. Yeah, it's good. It's good. Great visit. Spent a lot of time with him. Yeah, really interesting guy.
You've seen him grow in the league. Obviously, he came in and had questions about whether he could handle being in the pocket.
Hold on, can we pause this for a second? I heard this the first time and I forgot to say something. He says Lamar is a really interesting guy.
Yeah.
Is that like the first compliment that you give to somebody that you met once or twice for a job interview?
Yeah, really interesting guy.
Oh, yeah, really interesting.
I mean, what would be another way of saying that? I mean, he's...
Great guy.
Interesting, I think,
that's kind of a way to say, like, it's one step above saying, like, unusual.
Yes. Yeah, he's odd. He's an odd guy. You're
he's
right.
Different. He's different.
He's
a different
cat. He didn't
cat,
want to say
you know?
Different. Well, different how?
Really
well, no, I didn't say different.
Guy.
He's interesting. Well, how is he interesting?
It almost sounds a little bit like there wasn't, like, it didn't totally click. Really interesting guy. Yeah. Either that or Lamar, like, talks a crap ton. And Bill's like, wow, for the first time ever, I couldn't get a word
you know
in
what?
Edgewise.
Actually,
offended
you know that comment.
Actually, that's an excellent point by you.
Shut
it's
up.
Actually a good point
Shut
by
up.
You.
Actually?
Actually, Christian? Excellent point. It's not an insult.
I'm feeling attacked, Christian. I'm
you
feeling like you're bullying me.
It's fun to be mean to people.
I can't tell if you're being serious or not. But he's
that's
an
the
interesting
beauty of it.
Guy. He's an interesting
He's,
guy.
I think, wait, hold on.
That's really interesting guy.
That is a good pickup.
Thank you.
I didn't notice it, actually.
Like,
better?
He's, it's better? Not like, he's a fascinating guy, which would be a compliment. Like, I couldn't stop listening to him.
Yeah.
He didn't say, he's a great guy. Like, we hit it off so much.
It's so funny, though.
Interesting
there,
guy.
There is so much with the word choice, that choices that Bill uses for people. I do think they're all, like, you know, they're chosen very carefully. Like, if he would have said, you know, interesting does seem like he's hiding something. You know, he's like, well, we didn't click, and he's kind of odd, and he never made eye contact. He's interesting, you know? It's like one of those weird interviews that didn't go well.
That's what you say when the person leaves the room, and you look at the person across from you, you go, that was interesting.
Can you imagine him saying that about, like, Gronk?
No, totally different.
He says, oh,
nut.
Gronk.
That guy's a werewolf.
Antonio
Brown?
He's
got a lot of energy. He's a fun-loving guy.
Yeah.
AB.
He may be interesting.
He's
also.
Interesting.
He's
interesting. That's not a group.
Like
you
don't
want to.
You don't want to insult him. You know.
I could see Gronk being interesting. The dude fell asleep at his visit. I could see him walking in there goofing around and being like, "This guy's kind of interesting."
No, you need a different word for
that
him.
That laugh right there. Hey, Bill. What number are you going to give me? 69.
For him, you say, "Wow, that was interesting."
Yeah.
Like, holy crap! Woo, that was a.
No, you walk in and he's asleep on the ground, and then he goes and he dissects your entire playbook, and he walks out. You're like, wow, that was interesting.
Yeah, yeah, okay. All right, I like that.
So Lamar Jackson was practicing down in Baltimore, and he spoke about that pre-draft visit. He was asked about what it was like meeting Bill Belichick.
I seen Belichick smile. Usually I see him, he's like puzzle face, like a straight face guy. When I seen him smile, I'm like, dang, you got humor, like. I told him that. He was like, yeah. I'm like, I wasn't expecting you to be smiling.
Do you remember what made him smile?
No. No, I don't.
him maybe visualizing you as a Patriot.
Man, you're smiling. What are you smiling about?
You know, I'm kind of a hip cat, if you want to know the truth there, big boy. Like, I'm funny. I make people laugh. What was he grinning about? Was he visualizing Lamar Jackson, you know, running his offense?
For what it's worth, Bill Belichick this morning, a little Jordan Humphrey quote, he's an interesting guy, doesn't really fit a mold for a football player.
Oh, interesting. He's been thrown
little
out there.
Little Jordan
around.
Humphrey.
What's he hiding?
It's his big word.
I'm transfixed on interesting now. You just,
really interesting guy.
Yeah.
Maybe he means interesting in terms of all the different ways that he can be used.
Is that a safe word for him?
Interesting?
Yeah. Is it like a crutch for him? Like, I don't want to get into details, but I'm just going to use interesting. Right? So it's all-encompassing. So it's not as like you see a baby, you think the baby's ugly. Instead of saying the baby's ugly. It's like you say the baby's precious.
Interesting?
No, you say the...
Your baby's interesting. Wow.
Oh, my baby. God, look at your baby. It's so interesting. Let me see a picture of your baby. It's so interesting.
No, it would be... You haven't finished.
I'll let you finish. Go ahead. I'm curious where it goes.
Instead of saying the baby's ugly,
yeah,
you say that, oh, how precious.
No, you just say cute.
No, you say precious.
No matter what you think.
That is a southern trick. That is a southern trick.
Bless my heart, your baby's precious.
Yes. Yes, you say, you never.
Oh, she's so precious.
Oh, now you just say, oh, that's an interesting baby. I'm like, what do you mean?
Baby.
Now I'm
starting
to sweat,
that would not go over well.
I'm starting to sweat.
That would not go over well.
He's like, wow. Did I just insult your baby? I'm sorry.
How else would you take that? You have your baby and you walk up to a young couple. I want you to do this in the street. Oh my God, how long is your child? How old is your child? 8 months. Very young. She's very interesting. Excuse me?
No, you would say that's interesting.
Oh, she's very interesting.
You would say she or he is interesting.
Oh, your baby's very interesting.
No, but you don't know this trick. If you run into a couple, if you run into a couple and you think the baby's ugly.
Yeah.
Okay, and you're sick of kids anyways, all right? Because I don't think any babies are ugly.
You've had seven
own.
Of them.
I've had too many of them. They're all ugly. I don't think they're cute at all, okay? They're precious.
Interesting.
So instead, they're oh, how interesting, preciously. It's a preciously interesting baby. It's a precious, interesting baby. How about that? You get away with being insulting without being insulting.
You're better off taking the
interesting. What would you say if you like showed somebody a picture of your wife and they go, oh, interesting.
That's interesting.
Yeah, she's interesting.
See, that could go a different way also. Maybe if she's really hot and you're ugly, they would sit there and go, huh, that's interesting. Huh, how'd you end
what
up with her?
Or they just say your wife's really interesting.
That's a whole nother discussion.
Yeah.
Maybe there's like a threesome in the mix.
Oh,
like, who knows where that goes?
All right.
That could go a lot of different ways.
We need to take a break. When we come back, that was not the only visit before the 2018 draft between the Patriots and Lamar Jackson. We're going to look into what other meetings those two had ahead of the Ravens game on Sunday and what could have been if they had taken Lamar at 31 in that draft. We'll be right back. Because you can't be mean to anybody.
No.
You know what's funny? Being mean.
Oh, high five from there.
Like, I'm high sorry. Practice report just came out between New England and the Ravens. Did not participate Kyle Duggar and Jacoby Myers. Jacoby Myers did not practice today, listed with a knee injury.
Mm-mm.
So that's a little bit concerning.
The number one receiver.
Well, he's number three or four, maybe.
Well, that's true.
By the way, for the Ravens, there was this kind of odd video going around, captured from practice, of Lamar Jackson, because according to the Baltimore reporters, Lamar, during the open time where media could be at practice, didn't throw the football once and was wearing kind of a funny padded sleeve. And so if you go out there and you look on Twitter, there's this really awkward video of him just standing around and he's like holding the football like he's posing for pictures. He's just kind of standing around and then he's looking at his water bottle. Well, he's listed with limited participation. The injury is to his right elbow. So something to keep an eye on. I think afterwards in his media availability, he said he feels good. Whatever that means.
Well, they asked him if he threw today. He said no, because I plan on throwing a lot on Sunday.
Oh, so he's just saving it up.
Okie doke.
Okay.
That's one I think that is interesting.
Wait, did he really say that?
He did.
Oh, great.
Interesting.
That's very interesting, Lou.
I thought one Ravens is very interesting. Full participation, J.K. Dobbins. The running back hadn't played yet. He had a really good rookie year, and once he kind of got in there, didn't play last year, got hurt in camp. But they have that guy back. This is one thing, other than Lamar Jackson, they haven't had a running game since everybody went down last year. Bringing this guy back into the mix, I think, makes it interesting. And full participation today. So, looks like J.K. Dobbins will be back out there.
All right. Well, Jenny Rentis pointed this out in April 2018. We heard in the last segment just a couple minutes ago about how that meeting between Bill Belichick and Lamar Jackson went. Well, it wasn't his only meeting with the Patriots. According to Jenny Rentis of the New York Times, Lamar Jackson visited with the Patriots twice. One of them was a private workout in South Florida with Josh McDaniels, then the offensive coordinator, plus that visit to Foxborough. I think that's something we had heard at least murmurings of before, right? That Josh McDaniels went down, worked out with Lamar, came back. So from that, can you take away that Josh McDaniels didn't like what he saw with Lamar in that workout?
Why? Because they didn't pick him?
Yeah.
I don't read it that way because I sit there and I go, he's not the first scout or coach that took a trip, went to somebody's school or some hometown, and did a workout with this guy and came back and said, wow, this guy's awesome. And then they didn't take him. Like, I feel like that happens all the time.
I would agree with you, but I think this one is different. That's all. It's your quarterback. I mean, you're trying to find a quarterback to replace Tom Brady. So in 2018, I remember this too, like that Josh McDaniels did a private trip down to South Florida and worked Lamar Jackson out himself. So you're telling me Josh McDaniels in the offseason is like, all right, Bill, whatever, I'll go down and work him out. Loves what he sees, comes back and says yes. And then at 31, you take Sony Michel and don't take Lamar Jackson.
That's a really interesting guy.
Like, I think that would be more of an interesting story than Josh coming back and saying no and just getting it wrong. Because obviously he can play in this league. Obviously he's a dynamic player. He was MVP his second year in the league. So I don't know. I feel like if he came back, if Josh came back and said, yeah, Bill, he's the guy, I could do some things with him. You know, I know it's a different type of offense. I know Tom's here, but you sent me down to privately work this guy out. If he said yes, I think Bill would trust it.
See, my thing is that you would have to be literally banging your fist on the table and fighting tooth and nail for this guy, and at the same time understanding that you're basically just calling Brady's career over. Like, if you're Josh McDaniels, like, hey, listen, this
one
is the
year
guy.
I can mess with him. One year we can mess around.
No, I'm just saying, like, he would have played. Wow, I mean, he would have played. Like, he would have been part of the office. It would have found a role for him.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this happens all the time. I feel like coaches go out, scouts go out, they find what they think is a second coming, a real special, unique player, and Bill says, nah, I'd rather listen to my buddy. Or, nah, I am in charge, so I'll get the guy that I want.
Nikhil
I was
Harry.
Hoping that you would change my mind.
Yeah, yeah, I think the Nikhil Harry draft is the case where that has made everyone suspicious of every time that a good player is passed over. It's like, why? Did Bill just have the final say come down and say, nope, no, not for us? Or is it possible that someone ahead of him, Josh McDaniels, had been working with Tom Brady for his entire time, aside from his little departure to Denver. So is it possible that he went down there, looked at Lamar, and it was so far to the opposite spectrum of what he had been coaching that he couldn't see what he was looking at?
That's
is
interesting.
That possible?
That is interesting.
Stop.
No, I'm not seeing this. Now I retired, Drew. It's like an insult. I was like going to say, actually.
I'm saying, when you live your whole life in one lane, that is a fair point.
That's
great.
Like,
that's interesting.
Everything.
Never
that,
hear
that
the
feel,
same way.
I feel like it's a fair point because was he so different and so unique? He needed a real unique set of eyes to say, I can make it work. Okay, well, it's not going to work in the pros. He's too run dependent. You know, he can't throw the football. He can't do this. No. You're looking at it wrong. Let me prove it to you. I don't know if that was it or not. I don't think it was that involved. I feel it was pretty simple.
Yeah, I would just think, because earlier you said something like, if they were three first round tackles and they said, Scar, go look at these guys.
Yeah.
Go look at two of these guys. And he came back and said, that's the guy. Bill would never take one of the other two. I don't think.
I don't know though. Like, Lou, I hear stories. I've heard a story about Dominique Easley where all these scouts went out there and they all like said, talk about all these other guys that were better than him, and Bill just ignored it and took Dominique Easley because some other former guy that used to be on that staff, who used to be on our show, told him to.
A genius?
A buddy.
Like a total genius who loves military analogies. Loves them. Did a TED talk.
Ultimately,
we'll hear from him soon, I'm sure.
Ended up in the 2021 draft with Mac Jones. Gotta ask you, two games into Mac Jones' sophomore season, would you be happier right now if you had Lamar Jackson at quarterback, or are you happy, content with the Mac Jones situation as it is now? And when we come back from the break, we're also going to hear from Dan Orlovsky. We had him on a little bit earlier in the show. If you missed that, check it out on the Odyssey app, but we're going to hear a little bit of snippets from him. He was very critical, I think, of the weapons that Mac Jones has around him. We'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.